ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. عن أنس ابن مالك رضي الله عنه قال: إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يقول: إن من أشراط الساعة أن يرفع العلم ويثبت الجهل. Anas, the son of Malik, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily I heard the Messenger of Allah say, from the signs of the hour, from those signs that we know that Yawm al-Qiyamah is close, from those many signs is that you will see knowledge decreasing and ignorance increasing and being established. From the signs of the hour is that you will find the people not knowing about their religion. You will approach the average Muslim man or Muslim woman, and those issues that are important to them, to that individual, not to the ummah, you will find that that Muslim will not know about the issues of his religion. You will find him not knowing about the five pillars of al-Islam. The example of his knowledge is like the one who only takes from what he was taught as a child, but he never investigated to find whether it's right or wrong. This authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is especially important today because of the many problems that we find. Problems that if you were to come to know of, they will cause your hair to stand on end. You'll find the Muslim man who doesn't know about the rulings concerning divorce. He'll divorce his wife, and in one sitting, in a state of anger and rage, he'll say to his wife, your divorce, your divorce, your divorce. After divorcing her three times in the same sitting, he gets up and he leaves, as if he can't marry this woman anymore. He goes on about his business, and the girl, not knowing the religion, thinks that she's been divorced three times as well. She goes on about her business. He gets married to someone else, and the girl gets married to someone else, and she becomes pregnant by the someone else, not realizing that the man who says your divorce, your divorce, your divorce in the same sitting, that only counts as one divorce. It's not permissible for the man to say it three times. If he does, he's sinning, and also it doesn't count for three. So what are we going to do when his wife, who thought she was divorced, goes to get married to another man, and then she becomes pregnant by another man? What do we do? That's the situation that the Muslims deal with. The man wants to divorce his wife. So he divorces his wife while she is in a state of ceremonial impurity, while she's on her menses. And when Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma divorced his wife in that state, Umar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told Rasulullah what his son had did. The Prophet said to Umar, murhu li an yuraji'ha. Order your son to take her back. And then when she becomes pure, then if he wants to divorce her, divorce her. So the man divorces his wife while she's on his menses, and he thinks that it counts. The man wants to divorce his wife, and he doesn't realize, in order to divorce the woman in al-Islam, the man can only divorce the woman when she is pure, she comes off of her menses, and he never had a relationship with her. If he had a relationship with her after the menses, he can't divorce her until the next menses, and then he doesn't have a relationship with her. But the Muslims don't know their religion. This is probably the first time many of you have ever heard what I'm saying. The Muslims don't know their religion. And I know that there are some people when they mention or they hear that I'm mentioning this issue, they get goosebumps and they say, how can he mention this? So that you won't remain ignorant about the religion. So now we have in the religion of Al-Islam, a religion telling you and ordering you to be of the people who are educated so that you will get the benefits of knowledge. Knowledge will bring you a lot of benefit, Ya Abdullah, in your dunya, in your deen, and for your akhirah. From the benefit of knowing is that when you have knowledge, you'll know what to do. One of you goes in order to get a job and they say to you, where are your credentials? Where's your resume? The one who pulls out a resume and it shows that he doesn't know anything about what he's about to do. And then the other man who pulls out a resume with experience and showing that he's qualified, who do you think is going to get the job? It's going to benefit you. The doctor that you go to, and when you go to that doctor, it's clear he doesn't have knowledge. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You are not going to allow that man to do anything to you. The same thing in the religion. When we have legal problems, none of us go to a court of law trying to defend ourselves because we don't have knowledge. We go to the people of knowledge. We'll go to the lawyer who has knowledge. And look at every single person who tried to defend themselves. Look at Bundy who killed all those people, and an intelligent man tried to defend himself. Ferguson who killed those people in New York tried to defend himself. When you don't have knowledge, you're going to cause problems for yourself. In your deen and in your dunya. From the benefits of knowledge is that you will become protected. The doctor who doesn't have knowledge, you will find that he's the one who's always being sued for malpractice because he doesn't know. The one who's a plumber or a builder, he goes to build and he doesn't have knowledge. He's the one who turns around, he's going to be sued because he didn't know. Similarly, this is the case in Al-Islam, even more so. If you are a person, Ya Abdullah, who has educated yourself, you are not going to fall into the pit holes that we find people falling into. From the issues that you people need to know about is an issue from the issues of Al-Islam that are from the affairs of the unseen. And whenever people want to stand up and talk about the affairs of the unseen, Jannah and Nar, what makes Allah happy, then he has to speak with knowledge or he's going to destroy himself and the other people. From these affairs is the affair of the Mahdi. The Mahdi, who the Prophet told us about sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many authentic hadith. The issue of the Mahdi is so clear that no one is going to be in doubt concerning it except the one who insists on being ignorant or the one who is arrogant and haughty. It is so clear that we have over 15 companions narrating to us hadith about the Mahdi. The major companions like Ali and Talha, Anas, Thawban, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn al-Harith, Salama, Habiba. 15 companions narrating to us different hadith. All of the scholars of hadith have narrated in their books the hadith about the Mahdi. You cannot find a book of hadith except you're going to find in that book something telling you about the Mahdi. Bukhari, Muslim, all of them. The scholars of Al-Islam in the past, if he was worth his weight in salt, he also wrote a book about the Mahdi. Everything you need to know about the Mahdi. Al-Imam al-Shawkani, Al-Imam al-Suyuti, Ibn Kathir, Ali al-Qari, Sadiq Hasan Khan, Ali al-Muttaqa al-Hindi, all of them wrote books about the Mahdi. From the issues of the Mahdi that we want to discuss with you is a few hadith. First of all, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's been collected by Imam Ahmed and the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يملك رجل من أهل بيتي يملأ الأرض عدلا كما ملئت ظلم من قبله يكون 7 سنين. He said that the hour will not be established until a man from my Ahl al-Bayt appears and he takes over. He becomes the leader for the people in the dunya. The hour will not be established until the man from my house, Ahl al-Bayt, he comes and he takes over. He will establish in the earth justice after the earth was filled with oppression. He will remain for 7 years. The hadith gives us a description of the Mahdi, that he's from Ahl al-Bayt. He's from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Mahdi is from the Arabs. The Mahdi is from the family of Fatima. He told us in yet another authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي يقاتلون على الحق ظاهرين إلى يوم القيامة ثم ينزل فيهم عيسى بن مريم فيقول أميرهم لعيسى تعال صل لنا فيقول عيسى له لا إنكم على بعدكم أمراء تكرمة الله هذه الأمة. There will not cease to be a group of my community who will be fighting for the truth, and they will be apparent. They will remain that way until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then Isa ibn Maryam will come down. And when this group from the Muslims are about to pray, Isa ibn Maryam will come down and approach their salah. And the Mahdi is leading them in the salah. While the Mahdi is looking at the people to straighten out the lines, Isa is going to start appearing before the people, before they pray. The Mahdi, who was not a prophet, he will say to Isa, come, Isa ibn Maryam, come and pray with the people. You be the imam. You're the best one. You're the prophet. You're the messenger. You've been gone. You've been with Allah all this time. You're definitely better than me. Come and pray with the people. Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam will say, no. You people are the imams of yourselves. Go ahead and pray with the people, O Mahdi. We understand from this hadith, when the Mahdi comes, it's not going to be long before Isa comes while he comes. We understand from this hadith that the Mahdi is from the people who are from the Ta'ifatul Mansura, from the group that Allah will help. We understand from this hadith that when the Mahdi come, the Muslims will be fighting someone else. The hadith said, يُقَاتِلُونَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. They will be fighting on the truth. So if there's no fighting going on between the Muslims, this clear Muslim group that's on the Quran and Sunnah with the Kuffar, if someone appears now claiming to be the Mahdi, you can best believe that he's lying. The last hadith that we want to share with you, ikhwan, and giving you an indication of who the Mahdi is and some of his characteristics, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam Abu Dawood. لا تقوم الساعة حتى يملك رجل من أهل بيتي العرب. The hour will not be established until a man from my Ahl al-Bayt, he gets superiority over the Arabs. He becomes the one who is over all of the Arabs. All of these hadith, ikhwan, the Muslim ones, he knows it. If a person approaches him, and the person starts to claim that he's the Mahdi, he has to look at these hadith and other hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another authentic hadith, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يملك رجل العرب أقنى أجلى. The hour will not be established until this man comes and he will take over the Arabs and he will have a big nose and a big protruding forehead. Not abnormal. So if a man comes to you with a small nose and a small forehead, know that he's not the Mahdi. If a man comes to you and he says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream last night, and his beard was filled with white hairs. You know that he didn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Anas ibn Malik described the Messenger of Allah, and he said he had less than 20 white hairs in his beard and his hair. So whenever the people from the Tabi'een used to say to the companions, "We saw Rasulullah," they used to say to him, "Describe the Messenger of Allah to me." If they described him the way that they knew him, they would say, "You saw him." Because we know that's one of the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala can bestow upon the servant. Now you may be sitting there and you may be wondering, why out of all of the subjects we could have picked under the sun, why are we talking about the Mahdi? There must be something going on. Something must be happening for us to talk about the Mahdi. First of all, Ikhwan, even if nothing was going on, we're trying to get you people to understand that until you begin to read about your religion, the confusion that we live in, the problems that we have in our lives, they'll continue. And I ask you for your own sake, and I ask you by Allah, if you insist on remaining of the people who don't know, if you insist on not reading, then you should also insist on not being opinionated. Stop having opinions and stop talking about the religion, because wallahi, you don't know. And the proof that you don't know is when we hear you talk, nothing comes out of your mouth except jahl murakkab, ignorance that is compounded upon ignorance. Talk about what you know. The drunk kafir comes to the door at 12 o'clock telling us about Isa ibn Maryam and screaming about how Isa ibn Maryam is on the haq and we're from the people of the hellfire. Who in his right mind is going to sit there and give his time to that nut? A drunken man. You yourself, you're against what Isa was about. And you're going to stand here and tell us we're worshiping a god that's a false god, and you're going to paradise because Allah sent his son down in the form of a man. Jahil. Ignorance. Wallahi, my mother is ignorant, my father ignorant, and your mother and father are ignorant if they don't acquaint themselves to the Kitab and the Sunnah. So stop being opinionated. So if nothing happened, and we came to tell you about the Mahdi, this is to protect you. Don't you people know that the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ فَبَلِّغُوا إِلَيْهِ سَلَامِي. If Isa ibn Maryam comes to you people, if Isa ibn Maryam comes on the scene while you're living, the Prophet said, give him my salams. The Muslim hears this hadith that's authentic, and it's in his mind registered. He doesn't think he's going to meet Isa, and Allah knows best. But wallahi, he believes in it. So if Isa comes, he has knowledge. He'll go and he said, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to you, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He has that in his heart. So if nothing happened, it's enough that you're becoming educated in your religion. But something has happened. There's a brother from our masjid, a brother, not a kafir. There is a brother who was one of the closest people to me. In all of Orlando, whose name is Salman. His name before Islam on his passport, Steve Roach. Whenever he came, prayed in the first row. Since I've known him since last Ramadan, he never missed Salatul Fajr. Takes me to the masjid for Fajr every day since I've been in Orlando. From a year ago when I met him, he used to tell me about his dreams that he had when he was young. Premonitions. We're not going to go through all of that story, but this brother Salman, Steve Roach, is claiming in the streets of Orlando that he's the Mahdi. And he's telling us that we have to make hijrah because Saddam Hussein has agreed with Russia to bomb New York City. But Saddam is holding back to give the Muslims time to make hijrah to where? To Egypt. The place where you can't even have a beard. Any Egyptian would tell you that. What am I going to go to Egypt for? If you have a beard, there's an alamat al-istifham over your head in Egypt. If you have a beard, the secret service of Egypt is going to look at you just for having a beard. He feels that he's the Mahdi. The Muslim who has knowledge, he takes the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he described for us the Mahdi that I mentioned. When he said, "La taqumu sa'a hatta yakhruju al-mahdi min al-mashraq," the hour will not be established until the Mahdi comes from the east. Rasulullah, when he mentioned that hadith sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in Medina. The last time that I looked at the map, Orlando is northwest of Medina. Anyone from the United States start saying that he's the Mahdi, I'm going to say, what are you doing in Orlando? يخرج ظهوره من المشرق. He will come out and appear from the east. The Prophet told us about the Mahdi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, يُوَاتِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي وَاسْمُ أَبِيهِ إِسْمُ أَبِي. His name will be similar to my name, and his father's name will be similar to my father's name. So his name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Now if I come to you with my name before Jahiliyyah, in Jahiliyyah, before Islam, it was Jim Crow. And then I changed my name to Abu Usama al-Zahabi. I start to think that I'm the Mahdi. I change my name from Abu Usama al-Zahabi and I say to you, now my name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Are you going to accept that? Are you going to accept that? Of course not. You're not going to accept that nonsense. So I want you people to understand, because I know many of you, you complain about the subject matter of the khutbah, and we say to you, inshallah, we're not a people who are mutakabbirun. We're not arrogant. We'll give the opportunity to anyone to come and to present something. And like I said last week, I see before me all of these men. Since last week, no one came to offer to give the khutbah. No one. No one has the burning desire in his heart to teach the Muslims. But you're opinionated. Keep your opinions to yourself. If you can't do better, keep your opinion to yourself. Some people will complain. How are you talking about this subject? Because the Muslims are being affected by this issue in more ways than one. One of the ways is the new Muslim brother who heard this dawah and he was about to join the ranks to pick up his family to go to Egypt. The people in Orlando who have a problem with what we're saying, which is, oh people, our success and our failure lies directly in how well we take the Quran and the Sunnah. Leave the opinions of the madahib when they're wrong. Leave the opinions of your culture when it's wrong, of your fathers when it's wrong. The people who hate that call, when they hear that this brother Salman, may Allah increase us in guidance and him in guidance, when they hear this from this brother, they're going to say, this is a result of what Abu Usama believes and what Abu Usama teaches. So right here, I free myself from that type of understanding. I free myself of being a person who believes that that brother is the Mahdi, or I'm the person who taught him that. For 1 year, I've been telling the brother, you can't be the Mahdi. Your name doesn't go along with his name. You're not from the Arabs. All of the characteristics of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he left for us, it is not applicable in your case. So let those who are present go out into the earth and relay that message to those who are not present. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned the people about Musaylima al-Kizzab. He just didn't keep quiet about it. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he warned the people about the man who came and he started asking about those ayat of the Quran that are difficult to understand. He had them bring the man and they tied him up and he took some leaves, some branches from the date palm tree and he beat him. And then the man said, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you're trying to get the jinn out of my head that was there, you have done so. And if you want to kill me, then keep on hitting me."
after that, Umar exiled the man, imprisoned him and exiled him, and told the Muslims, don't anyone talk to that person. So it's not considered to be ghiba or backbiting to warn the Muslims about this type of evil. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who are of the ones who understand their religion and who have the desire to learn about their religion. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَنَا وَلَكُمْ السَّدَادَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة الله وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Last week we had an aqiqa here for one of our brothers after Salat al-Maghrib or after Salat al-Isha, and we gave the brother Salman the opportunity to present his Wali program, this thing about the shares and all of that, and we also did it after Jummah, but most of the people left. He had an opportunity to speak from this microphone. The reason why that was allowed was because at that time the brother was introducing to the people a business program that didn't have anything to do with the religion. And if you were to go back to look over that business program, it has some positive aspects to it, and it has some other aspects to it, business-wise, that a person can take or reject, depending upon how he looks at it. We want to now take this stance that we advise the Muslims not to involve themselves with that business program at this time, because it has some other motives, some other ulterior motives, and that's why it's called Wali, or Wallahi al-Islam, because he believes that at one time he was the Wali of the Mahdi. This is Islamic terminology. The Wali of the Mahdi, the one who's going to prepare the way for the Mahdi. We never heard this type of phrase from the Quran and the Sunnah. We know about the Mahdi, we know about the Dajjal, we know about the Dabba, we know about the Jassasa, we know about these things, the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. We know about these things, but we never heard of the Wali of the Mahdi. So it's Wali al-Islam. So we advise the people not to spend their monies on that program, and we do not give the stamp of approval for that program at this time. In the future, if someone wants to take that program and modify it, he takes it on and he adopts it and he modifies it and he makes it where it is acceptable, we'll support that. It was a program that was telling the Muslims the importance of helping one another. Going to the Muslim doctor and he gives you something off of the price, and it comes back to any of the masjids, not only this masjid, any masjid that the doctor wants it to go back to. So it has some good things to it. But in any event, we subtract ourselves from that program and we divorce ourselves from that program, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwan, if in fact some of you find in your hearts some distaste as to what was being said after this Jummah, inshallah, and I respect the culture of many of you people, I'm going to ask you to approach me for further discussion. Don't be of the fitna people, the people who go out and make fitna. And wallahi, I know some of you are going to give me some of your good deeds, and you're going to take from me some of my bad deeds, because I know you're going to leave and you're going to misconstrue. This is Black History Month here in February. How many calls do we get to this masjid asking, Abu Usama, can we practice as Muslims Black History Month? Can we celebrate it? And we tell the people, how do you think that we're going to tell the Muslims who are Arabs, the Muslims who are Asians, the Muslims who are Caucasian or whatever, we don't practice and we don't celebrate anything except what has been authenticated and sanctioned by Islam? You think we're going to say, make a double standard for Black History Month? You think we're going to practice Black History Month because we're black? This is not a masjid for black people or Arab people or nothing in that. This is the masjid of the Muslims. And we have rose above that jahiliyyah. We rose above that nonsense. So don't be of the people who go out and you make fitna by saying that which isn't true. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish us firmly upon the kitab and the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to take all of the enmity and rancor out of our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place within our hearts the characteristics of men. Will we stand up like men stand up to deal with what needs to be dealt with? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us of those people who are cowards, who run around and they talk about things behind people's backs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify us with Iman and at-Taqwa and Islam and at-Tawheed. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the truth more beloved to us than our own families and our own selves. And we ask Allah ta'ala to save the Muslims who are being tried wherever they're being tried in the world. The Muslims of Iraq and the Muslims of America who are in the United States service, who are to save them in their situation and to honor us and to make us of those people who will be blessed on the day when nothing would help except those good deeds that we bring to you. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa nasallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq wa sadad.